The genocide in Rwanda in 1994 was one of the most horrific episodes in recent history, not only on the African continent, but I would say worldwide, when an extraordinarily high number of people, between 500,000 and 1,000,000 people, were killed in just 3 months. So you would think that this should certainly influence international responses to other conflicts in Africa. At the time, a lot of people were saying, never again. Again, we can't let this happen again. And yet we have seen in a number of other countries very serious conflicts in which large numbers of civilians have been killed. For example, next door in the Democratic Republic of Congo, which shares a border with Rwanda, but also in other parts of Africa, for example, in Sudan with the Darfur crisis and so on. So I think there's still a long way to go in terms of international policies that will prevent large-scale atrocities of this kind.
The international community looks back at the Rwanda genocide and they say, oh, we should have paid more attention to this. We should not have let this happen. For instance, President Clinton said we should have intervened, and the U.S. going forward is not going to let anything like this happen again. But yet atrocities continue in Africa. So what should the international community be doing to prevent such atrocities and to stop the ones that are going on now?
Well, it depends on the situations, of course. Each country is different and each situation is different. So I wouldn't want to suggest a blanket formula. I don't think there is a blanket formula that would apply in every case. But one of the important lessons we can draw from the Rwandan genocide is that we should heed warnings. In the case of Rwanda, in the months leading up to the genocide in 1994, there were very clear signs that the people in power at that time were mounting a campaign of ethnic persecution of people from the Tutsi ethnic group. There were very virulent anti-Tutsi messages going out in the media. There were all kinds of preparations that were underway, and the warning bell was struck by several people, several organizations, including at that time our late colleague Alison DeForge, who tried desperately to alert not only the U.S. government but other member states of the U.N. But despite this, nothing was done until it was far too late. So I think one of the lessons we can draw from that is we should not close our eyes when situations appear to be unraveling. Governments should pay attention and to take action quickly.
It has been 19 years since the genocide occurred in Rwanda. So how are Rwandans now coping?
Well, 19 years is, as you'll appreciate, it's a really short time, a very, very short time to even think about recovering from such horrors. When you look at other countries in the history of the last few decades, other atrocities that have taken place, not least the Holocaust, it takes, in my view, at least one or two generations for a country to even begin to recover from these things. So I think it would be entirely unrealistic to expect Rwanda in 19 years to have got over that. Now, having said this, I think what has been remarkable in Rwanda since 1994 is that in many respects, the country has got back on its feet. It is a country where things function. The infrastructures have been rebuilt. There has been quite a lot of progress made in terms of development and in terms of the economic situation. So all those things have enabled Rwandans to start getting on with their lives again. But of course, the deeper scars and the trauma will take much, much longer to go away.
The international community now looks at this genocide as just a very, very tragic and overwhelming event. Looking at some of the other situations in Africa, such as the Darfur situation in Sudan, how does that compare with the genocide, or can they be compared?
You know, it's difficult to really compare because each situation is so different, and I don't think it would be right to compare in terms of numbers of victims, for example. I mean, the numbers of people killed in all these different examples we're talking about is extremely high. But to my mind, that's not the way to measure it. I think what was perhaps unique in the case of the Rwandan genocide was just the speed and the extremely high level of organization which enabled so many people to be killed in such a short period. That was really quite exceptional. And that, I think, is one of the things that was so shocking about it.